We're going to turn now to another matter at the heart of the recession, the mortgage crisis. President Obama recently unveiled the Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan. It's intended to help 9 million homeowners avoid losing their homes to foreclosure. We decided to take a closer look at what this plan means for those who qualify and for those who don't. Our money coach, Alvin Hall, is staying with us, and joining us now is Carla Duglin. She's the host of Foreclosure Exposure Radio. Duglin is also the author of the Foreclosure Workbook. She's been with us before to talk about these issues. Carla, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Alvin, thanks for staying with us.
Glad to be here.
Carla, what exactly is this Homeowner Affordability and Stability Plan? How does it work?
Well, the plan has three basic components. The first component would help homeowners who continue to make their loan payments on time, but they're upside down in their mortgages. It would help them refinance, which is something that they didn't have the ability to do before because they were underwater on their current mortgage payments. The second piece...
They owe more than the house is now worth.
That is correct. The second piece would assist people who are at risk of foreclosure by providing incentives to lenders to actually alter the terms of their loans or modify their loans or a loan or a piece of their loan so that they could make it more affordable for those homeowners. And then the third piece would try to assure that there's plenty of credit available for mortgages by giving about $200 billion of additional backing to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Alvin, you had previously been critical of the so-called voluntary remodification
Yes.
efforts that had been pushed by the industry and the previous administration. What about this plan? Do you think this addresses the problem?
I think this addresses the problem in a very narrow but important way. If you are on the verge of defaulting on your mortgage, it gives you a way to seek new financing for your mortgage or to refinance, provided your property doesn't exceed 105% of the mortgage that you have. So I think that's a good thing. But at the same time, if you have already defaulted on your mortgage, then the modification helps some people. But it's estimated that in the areas where there were huge amounts of speculation, it helps very few people in those areas. So I think it's a good first step. But I think he really needs to look further down the line to help people who are really in distress, who are beyond the guidelines of this mortgages. I'm not talking about those people who speculated on mortgages by buying multiple homes, but those people who live in the house as their primary property.
I wanted to ask you, Alvin, while we have you, there are those who may be listening who may say, look, I'm not in danger of foreclosing. I've been a responsible homeowner. I chose a house I could afford. I have payments. I'm making my payments. What does this have to do with me?
You know, every time somebody says that, I hate to admit it, but I do identify with that because I did all those things myself. But I recognize that we have to help our fellow man. If the house next to mine goes into foreclosure, it affects the value of my house. If the condo next to mine goes into foreclosure, then that means the value of my property is less. If someone is living in the house as their primary property, they haven't speculated too much, they went in because they honestly thought they could afford the house, then I think we should help those people out. If someone has been dishonest or speculated extremely, I don't feel we should help them.
And why is it you're saying that because... If a home goes into foreclosure and it's sold at a discount, it drags down all the
yes.
other houses or condos in the surrounding area.
Absolutely. A friend of mine who lives in Tampa, Florida, they had their house estimated at around $495,000. The house next to theirs went into foreclosure and sold at an auction for around $235,000. That becomes essentially the value of their house, whether they like it or not. The family couldn't afford the house. Maybe this type of bill would have helped them somewhat. So all of us are affected by it long term, whether we like it or not.
Carla, what's your take on this?
I absolutely agree with Alvin. I mean, I think that we're hearing a lot from people who are very angry about the fact that they have been responsible and how does this really affect me. But what we're seeing in these neighborhoods is that there's a high rate of crime, too, not just the value of your property going down, but a high rate of crime in properties that have either been abandoned or have been sold at auction. So you've got people setting up meth labs, you've got prostitution rings, you've got a large amount of vermin that is happening in these properties. This is also dragging down the neighborhood value. So we've got to take this stopgap measure in order to ensure that we have properties that are available to be sold, properties that are available to have people actually stay in their houses so that you don't have this dragging down of your community.
And Carla, you've been working on foreclosure issues, and I realize that people listening may have trouble keeping track of all these various elements of the plan. So I want to assure them we will have information on our website about the plan so that they can kind of look at it again and absorb it at their leisure. But you've been working on these issues for quite some time. Is there something in this plan that's missing?
Very good question. I think that people would say it does not help the people who have not been speculating but do not have loans that are backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. It's really important that people understand that if you do not have a Fannie or Freddie-backed loan, then this program is not for you. So you have people that got into loans that have adjustable rate mortgages that are resetting, and those loans aren't Fannie or Freddie-backed. This does not help those people. So that's a part that is missing, but I do understand that they had to do something in order to try and stabilize the market while more plans can be put into place.
Why wouldn't you have a loan that was backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac? Is it because the cost of your home exceeds those insured by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, or because the terms are not those offered by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Don't say 4/5 of homeowners have a mortgage backed by Fannie and Freddie?
Well, if you don't have a plan that's backed by Fannie or Freddie, it means that you were able to get into one of these loans that was a little bit more creative, let's say, that they didn't ask for documentation, they didn't ask for income verification. And if you have a Fannie or Freddie-backed loan, you'd had to put a certain amount of money down, 20%, 10% down. You had to have income verification and a full documentation in order to ensure that you could support this loan in the long term. Now, there were more creative mortgages that came out that didn't require all of that documentation, and people could get in, you know, on a wing and a prayer, and they were not sustainable loans. So those are the loans that are really not backed by this particular program.
And to that point, what are the checks and balances in place now to assure that these funds go to the people who are truly eligible for them?
Well, there's a deep qualification process for this piece. First of all, if you need to refinance, then there are several things that you have to have in place. You've got to really be able to, before you go and approach your lender, gather your paperwork, because they will check your income. They will check your credit history. They will check what other payments you're making right now on your car and your credit card, and review all of this to see if you qualify for this particular plan. Same if you're behind in your payments and you're looking for a mortgage modification. So there is going to be a severe check of exactly where you are financially and if this is something that you can sustain. So the days of no doc loans, the days of no income verification, those days are over.
Alvin, finally, there are millions of people who have already lost their homes.
Mm-hmm.
This plan comes too late for them.
Way too late.
Is there any hope folks in that situation will ever own a home again, or is that just something to wipe out of your consciousness? Yeah.
No, I think if you have lost your home, then it will probably sit on your credit record for 7 to 10 years, at which time you can rebuild your credit and then learn from the experience. Learn that you do need to put a substantial down payment on a home, 5, 10, 20%. 20% gives you the best mortgage possible. Know that you should buy a house you can afford. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody trips up. You can get back on the property ladder, and you should learn from this period and be smarter the next time around. Defaulting on your mortgage does not stay on your credit record forever.
Alvin Hall is our regular contributor on matters of the economy and personal finance. He joined us from our bureau in New York. Carla Duglin is the host of Foreclosure Exposure Radio and author of The Foreclosure Workbook. She joined us from Portland, Oregon. Carla and Alvin, thank you so much.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Now we'd like to hear from you. How has your neighborhood been affected by foreclosures? Are you worried about losing your home? And do you think the president's proposal will help? Or are you concerned that this plan lets irresponsible homebuyers off the hook? To tell us more and to compare notes with other listeners, go to the Tell Me More page at npr.org. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, that's 202-842-3522. And please remember to tell us your name and where you're from.